Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
And so that we can get as many people as we can on here, we're going to discuss this. This is a very hot topic right now. I got a lot of feedback on this under the thread of this when we shared this. And this story, I'm so used to doing a message that's what my terminology is. This story coming out of Virginia is still trending and it's still taking off. So if you're joining us today on the broadcast, we want to welcome you. This is going to be our viewpoint segment of This is End Time Headlines. If this is your first time joining us, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And today I want to be dealing with a particular subject or a topic that came out of Virginia. This news broke yesterday. We shared this on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, and it went viral. Got a lot of feedback on it. Put it on our Facebook page. It went viral on there. Everywhere that we posted this and shared this, it really just took off. A lot of people was interested in the story. Very terrifying story that's coming out of Virginia. According to reports, and I'm going to read this, and we're going to talk about this. It's going to be our topic of discussion today. Let me just read this story, and then we're going to break this down. A Virginia family is reeling after a terrifying first night in their new home, in which they told police that a naked woman wearing a blue ponytail broke into their home, attacked their family, and claimed to be the devil. The house in Chesterfield County, Virginia, is now in a state of disarray with bullet-riddled walls, blood-soaked carpet, and broken windows. The home invasion occurred around 10:30 p.m. Eastern on Independence Day, when the woman allegedly entered the home through the basement. The husband in the Lewis family, who declined to appear on camera to local media and whose first name was not reported, said the woman claimed to be Satan. The husband said he told the woman to leave and then grabbed his pistol and fired 39 rounds, none of which hit her. Now, as this report went out, a lot of people criticized the man and said, well, if he's that bad of a shot that he fired off 39 rounds and couldn't even hit one round, then that's pretty pathetic. But more information actually came out on this, and he even said that he was not intending to kill her. He was trying to scare her. He was trying to give her a warning and trying to get her to leave. He wasn't trying to take her out. So just wanted to clarify that, because I feel sorry for this guy because everybody was giving him so much flack on social media. Now listen to this quote. He said the woman had superhuman strength and instead of running from the gunfire, actually ran to the gunfire and charged at him. Quote, she was not stopping, he said. She had the strength of four grown men. He began throwing furniture at the invader when he ran out of ammunition. And then his wife, Melissa Lewis, and children intervened. Quote, she was in to kill us. This, I believe his wife said, that was her almighty, to kill us. She attacked us. I held her down and this is the wife. I held her down and just kept punching her as hard as I possibly could. Quote, I said, who are you? And she explained, quote, she said, I need your help. Please help me. I said, get out of my house. And she goes on to say, I am the devil. She looked possessed, said Melissa Lewis. Her eyes were completely black, like saucers, and she was laughing like I was joking. Quote, one of the children, 12 years of old, Jason, stopped the attacker by shoving a wrench. And I'm sorry, this is very graphic, okay? So I'm just going to give you a warning. By shoving a wrench into her neck, according to reports. The woman is now in ICU. Once she comes out of ICU, she will be charged with robbery, breaking entry, and entering an attempted murder. Now, let's talk about this. Was this just some loon that was strung out on drugs, possibly? Or was this woman, in fact, demon-possessed? Now, there's going to be a lot of individuals and even church folks that will get on here that will be claim to be believers of the Lord. They'll call themselves Christians. They'll call themselves Bible believers. But they will emphatically say that they don't believe in demon possession. They'll tell you that there's no such thing as demons. There's no such things as spirits. So let me give you the word of God on this. James chapter 2 verse 19 says, "You believe there is one God, you do well. For even the demons believe and tremble." Now, there's a lot of meat in just that one verse of James chapter 2, verse 19. First of all, it says there's one God, not many gods, not one way, but one way. There's one God. Come on, one Lord, one Savior, Jesus Christ. James says, you believe there's one God, you do good, you do well. But he says, listen to what he says, even the demons believe. Notice he said demons. He didn't say if there's demons or if supposedly if there was demons. He said even demons, acknowledging their existence, acknowledging that they are real, they are authentic. He says even the demons believe and tremble at the fact that there is one God. Come on, somebody. So now, and you let, if we say there's demons, the question arises, what are demons and what is their origin? So let's talk about this. There's four basic logical theories of where demons originated from, their origin. So let me cover these. I believe there's only one right answer out of all these four, and I'll elaborate why that is. Number one, the first theory is that these are spirits of the deceased wicked men. However, this cannot be true because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Your soul and your spirit leave your body. I don't have time to preach on that. One thing would take at least 30 minutes minimum, but your soul and spirit go out of your body. And according to the New Testament, if you're right with the Lord, your soul and spirit will go down and it'll go into a place called Hades, or it's a refinement center centered into the center of the earth. And which once in the Old Testament was called Abraham's bosom, but at the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he went into the lower parts of the earth, the heart of the earth. He preached to the spirits of the dead, led captivity captive. He released those spirits out of that holding chamber of Abraham's bosom, and then they came up out of that place, and they are now present tense this day in paradise. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that is where that is. It's in the third heaven. It's in the heaven of heavens, in the presence of the Lord and his mighty angels, where the Father is at his throne. And the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Thus, these spirits are not the spirits of men who have passed and are here on the earth to haunt men. Thus, they're called ghosts. Those are nothing. That is not what they are called. Okay. So that is definitely not. And I'm taking a note here, guys, because something came up while I was sitting here talking about this that I want to put a note in this. So number one theory, that doesn't hold water. Number two, that these are spirits of the pre-Adamic world, Again, now this theory is basically derives from a pre-Adamic world, a pre-Adamite world. Thus, there was a world before the world that we read about in Genesis chapter 1. And again, I don't want to get into this too much, but there's a lot of theories that exist that in the time between, in the space between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2, is that, and let me just read this. And I'm going to show you where they get this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then the next part, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." What a lot of the pre-Adamite theorists believe is that the earth was perfect in all of its ways but something happened that caused it to be without form and void and caused darkness to come upon the face of the deep. So these theorists hold that and believe that this is, they put the fall of Satan in that area, in that location, in that timeline of what's called the quote pre-Adamite world. Finis Dakes, who wrote the Dakes Bible, actually believes that and holds to that theory. There's a lot of scholars that believe that. Now, I don't want to get into the whole prefaces of that, but again, I personally do not believe these are spirits of these individuals that once existed in the pre-Adamite world, because this kind of hinges on the same theory of the first one that we just talked about. The third theory is that these are spirits that came and was basically derived from Genesis chapter 6, when the angels that fell from heaven had relations with the daughters of men, and they produced giants that came in the earth. And as those giants died, because again, they were hybrids, they were half human and they were half angels. They were half human, they were half angels. And when they died, because of their makeover, their genetic makeover, and because of their bloodline, when they died, their soul and spirits were not permitted to enter, come on, Abraham's bosom at this time. Today it would be paradise, but they were restrained or restricted from that. Thus, their spirits remained on the earth, and thus, this is where we get evil spirits from. Now, I personally believe this theory holds true and is really the strongest point and valid point. Because let me give you to the fourth one, and let me tell you why I don't believe the fourth theory. The fourth theory is that evil spirits are fallen angels. These evil spirits are fallen angels, and thus the word demon is just a word that's been derived, or it's come up with, and that's a word for that we've given to call these fallen angels. Now, let me give you two reasons why I believe this theory doesn't hold any water. Now, number one is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 tells us that God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So he tells you, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3 through 5 tells us these angels that held not their first estate are now in confinement to this chamber in hell. They're delivered in chains. Now you can go to the book of Revelation, and it says there'll be four angels that are bound right now in the river Euphrates, and they'll be loosed and released during the tribulation. But only then will they be released, not prior to that. So I cannot find any scripture reference to show that these angels that held not their first estate, that Peter tells us are held into confinement until they're released at an appointed time. Come on, again, we know four of these will be released out of the river Euphrates during the judgment, or during the tribulation, rather, during the tribulation period. And then we find out that during the great white throne judgment, when God begins to judge, and Bible, by the way, your Bible says that we, the saints, will judge angels. Did you know that? We, the saints, will judge angels. I believe that's 1 Corinthians that talks about that. Do you know not that we will judge the angels? So we will partake of that and be a part of that judgment that we will judge the angels. So again, I believe out of these four theories, I believe the one that holds the most, the most solid teaching to this in theory is that the evil spirits, their origin comes from these Nephilims, or these giants, the men of renown, that when they died, their soul and their spirit, and there was a lot of them, guys, a lot. And when their souls and spirits departed from their body, they remained on the earth, and they are now the evil spirits. Because, guys, the giants were called the seed of the serpent. They were the seed of the serpent, the offspring of Satan. Now, the second reason why I believe the fallen angels are not spirits is because the word demon, you won't find the word demon really in the King James or 1611 KJV, King James, but it comes from, we get the reason why this word is found, again, the origin of it is demonized or demonized, where we get the word demonized. That individual, the man at the Gadarene, was demonized, or he was demonized. The boy that was demonized or demonized, that was thrown, the spirit in him would throw him into the water, and then he would often throw him into the fire. Okay? So that's where we get this from. Now, having said that, we know that there are rankings. There's rankings of evil spirits and spirits and demonic powers. According to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Let me read this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. Now listen to this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Now, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Apostle Paul uses a word called wrestle. In the Greek context or understanding of this, it actually alludes to taking your opponent and pinning him to the ground to the point where you have your hand against his throat. It was a move of submission where their hand is pierced against their throat, cutting off their air, their circulation of air. And then in the ancient Greek understanding of this, which absolutely fits into the context of the timeline and the culture of when Paul wrote this to the church of Ephesus, it alluded to when a wrestler would take his opponent, and when it was all said and done, and when they were finished with their match, he would actually gouge out his eyes. I know this is very graphic, that he would gouge out his eyes, leaving his opponent blind. Now you say, why is that important? Because this is exactly the wiles, the schemes, the plots, and the assignments of hell. This is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to bombard you with such an attack and such an assignment of hell against you and your family that leads you it leaves you stunned in defeat and a state of blindness. Okay, in a state of blindness. This is why John 10:10 says, for the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay, now notice he gives ranks here. We have principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Did you know that not only are there real demons and there is real spirits, but there's rankings of these spirits. Principalities. These are strong spirits assigned over nations and cities. Okay? Daniel the prophet dealt with these. You can find these in the book of Daniel. The archangel wrestled with the prince. It calls him the prince of Persia. This was not a physical man. This was spiritual warfare. This was angelic warfare. He was called the prince of Persia. There's another one called the prince of Grecia. And these were principalities that were assigned by Satan that ruled and reigned over different nations. Over Iraq, over Syria, over Persia, or what we call today Iran. There's these chief prince spirits that are over these nations. Okay, then you have powers. These are spirits under the authority of the principalities. These are just imps that again are under the command of these principalities. Then you have rulers of darkness of this age. These are chief spirits that empower people, preferably in high places. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of rulers of darkness in places of authority, in government rule, in places of authority, in high places, in high ranking. You want to know, Come on, this is where we get the term, all these terms and these entities that people talk about, like the New World Order or the Illuminati or the Bilderbergs or these controlling powers, the Freemasons. Who do you think rule? Come on, you see the physical aspect of this. You see the physical understanding of this. But I'm telling you, behind these are only mere puppets on strings that are being pulled by the rulers of darkness of this age that are controlled by Satan. Satan gives them their commands. He gives them their orders. He gives them their ranks. He gives them their assignments. Okay. Then we have the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Again, these are merely agents of the rulers of darkness carrying out the assignments of hell. Okay. So again, these are four ranks of these demonic powers that are again all under the authority of Satan or the devil. Now, when we talk about spirits, I'm going to go through this really quick. I don't have time to break down every one of these and give you all these scriptures. You can do this in your own time and you can do your own homework, okay? When we talk about spirits or demonic spirits, the Bible in the New Testament talks about these. It talks about, listen to this. Here we go. Ready? Again, you can go back. If you're watching this by YouTube or by Facebook, you can go back and take notes and you can study this in your own time. The New Testament mentions unclean spirits. It mentions evil spirits. It mentions spirits of infirmity. It mentions lying spirits. It mentions seducing spirits. It mentions a spirit of fear. And it mentions familiar spirits. So again, all these spirits are where you can see these in operation in the New Testament. And you can find them there, and they're vexing people, they're oppressing people, they're possessing people, they're controlling people, and people are dealing with these spirits. Now, let's talk about possession and oppression, or where we get the word possessed and oppressed. There's a difference, okay? Because not everybody is possessed, but most people are oppressed. Let me say that again. Most people that are dealing with demonic spirits, okay, they're dealing with things in the demonic. It is usually oppression or they are oppressed, and they are rarely are they possessed or dealing with possession. So let's just break this down. The word possessed is the state of having, owning, or controlling something. So it's a state of ownership or control. This is the understanding of possession. An individual who's possessed of the devil, and we're going to give you an example of this, is far different than someone who's oppressed of the devil. Now, the word oppressed or oppression, by the definition of Merriam-Webster's dictionary, defines oppression as to crush or to burden an individual by abuse of power or authority, to burden spiritually or mentally, to weigh heavily upon or to wear out. Let me say that again. I'm going to slow it down so you can get the understanding of this. To oppress or to be or oppression means to a crushing, a burden, to abuse of power or authority, to wear down, to burden spiritually, mentally, heavy upon. Okay? This methodology of the enemy is the most successful in wearing down the saints today. In fact, your Bible says in the book of Daniel that one of the strategies of the devil in the last days, when we get to the time of the end, the time of the Antichrist that will rise on the scene, one of his main weapons of warfare will be to wear down the saints. How's he going to do that? He's going to oppress them. Come on. But he's doing it now. It's happening right now. How's he doing this? He weighs down the body of Christ. He weighs us down with burdens, the cares of life, the cares of this world. Come on, the worry of how am I going to pay my bills? Health, burdens, sicknesses, infirmities, diseases. How am I gonna get over this? Am I gonna get over this? How am I gonna pay for these things? How am I gonna make ends meet? How am I gonna pay for my kids' college? How am my children gonna get through this? They're going through a state of rebellion. How am I gonna get through this marital affair? How am I gonna get through this? So all these burdens, he wants to keep you loaded down with burdens and with oppression and being oppressed. Why? Because the more he weighs you down and beats you down, come on, unfortunately, when we become oppressed of the devil, we should be running to the presence of God where the anointing is, because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. But the sad commentary is that the enemy knows, come on, what many of us already know, and that is that if he can wear us down and wear us out, instead of running to the throne, we run from the throne. Come on, we get away from God, away from his presence, away from his word, away from his spirit, away from the anointing. Because, and friends, this is the exact opposite of what we don't want. Come on, when I begin, I know in my own walk with God, when I feel oppressed of the enemy, the last thing I want to do is stay out of church, stay out of the word, and stay out of his presence. What I want to do, I want to get into the presence of the Holy Ghost. I know that I got to get into his word. I got to get into his presence. I want to get into a revival meeting, a refreshing, a place where the refreshing of the Spirit of God is. If I've got to do it, if I can't get to a revival meeting where there's a corporate gathering of believers where the presence of God is and the anointing is flowing, then what I've got to do is lock myself in my basement, lock myself in a place of my prayer closet, or wherever I can put on some praise music, some worship music, or if I have to, I'll put on some good preaching from an anointed man or woman of God that can break the yoke and break the oppression and break the darkness and lift the burdens off of me and set me free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the enemy knows that most believers will not run to an atmosphere that's conducive to set them free, but they'll do the opposite and they'll isolate themselves from the very people and the very presence and the very thing that can set them free. Come on, somebody. So we, as the body of Christ, have a responsibility. Come on, a lot of the burdens and oppression that we put on us, we lay out our own welcome mat. Let me give you a scripture for that. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 28. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Listen to this, verse 27 of Ephesians 4. Nor give place to the devil. I said, don't give place to the devil. How do you give place to the devil? Well, you're angry and you begin to sin. You let you got to put it in context. One of the ways we give a foothold to the devil, or we give place to the devil, is we become angry with our brothers and sisters. We become angry with our coworkers. We become angry with our family. And instead of being quick to forgive them, we're quick to harbor resentment and unforgiveness. And friends, if you want to lay a welcome mat out for the devil to enter into your home, come on, and enter into cause a root of bitterness to begin to spring up in your spirit, there's no quicker avenue, there's no quicker route than doing that, than harboring unforgiveness, resentment, and bitterness. And when you do this, you open the door wide open for the devil and everybody and all of his good buddies to come along with him. This is why you got to live a lifestyle of repentance and a lifestyle of forgiveness. Be quick to forgive and forget. Let it go, man. Let it go. It's not worth it. People, I know, listen, I'm preaching to you everything I've walked out. I know what it's like to be stabbed in the back. I know what it's like to be abandoned. I know what it's like to be rejected. I know what it's like to be let down. I know what it's like to be rear-ended in a traffic stop, stopped at a stoplight and rear-ended by somebody that ain't got any insurance and ain't got no intention on trying to fix my car or pay it back. And I had to forgive them and release them because the Holy Ghost told me to do it. And he says, if you'll forgive them and release them, I can reimburse and reinstate far more than you can gain by getting hung up in a cord and getting hung up in all kinds of junk. Just forgive them and let them go in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say, forgive them and let them go. Now, I want to show an example. Now, let's talk about possession. Possession. Because again, the story, the backdrop on this gives us a picture of what looks to be a story of a woman who is possessed, not oppressed, but possessed of the devil. And I'm going to break it down a while. Let's go to the book of Mark. I want you to turn with me to the book of Mark in the New Testament, the book of Mark. And we're going to go to the book of book of Mark chapter 5. The book of Mark chapter 5. Listen to this. And then they, and this is the disciples and Jesus, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Somebody say an unclean spirit. So he had a spirit on him who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, and not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the chains broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, and here's the voice that came out of him said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, and then Jesus turns to the man and says, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered and said, quote, my name is Legion, for we are many. And also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. So there was a large herd of swine that was feeding there near the mountain. So all the demons, and I'm just going to underline that here for future reference for my own studies. All the demons begged him, saying, send us, plural tense, come on, to the swine that we may enter them. Now it's interesting, and this is a little side note. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. If you'll really take the time and not shut me off and just listen, I'm teaching you something today. It's interesting that of all the animals that these demons chose to go into, it was swine. Do you know that according to Levitical dietary laws, the Israelites were permitted to, they could eat cows, they could eat chicken, they could eat turkey, they could eat fish with scales. They could eat these things. These were considered to be clean. But did you know that one of the most unclean animals, according to Levitical dietary laws, was pigs or swine? And they were told, do not eat these things. Don't touch them. Don't eat them. They're unclean. Now, what's interesting is, and I didn't know this until my wife got into nursing school and to the medical field, and I discovered that pigs do not sweat. And in case you didn't know this, when we sweat, God created a system in our body to function the way it does. The reason why we were created to sweat is because it releases impurities and toxins out of our system. Did you know that when you exercise, it causes your blood to purify itself? And when your pores release sweat, the sweat droplets contain toxins and impurities that come out of your body. Thus, if you can't sweat, hello, the toxins and the impurities remain in the flesh. Thus, when you eat the swine or eat the pig, come on, I'm going to lose a lot of you right here just by talking about this. But it all fits into the message, so don't get mad at me. But you're eating that when you partake of the meat. But it's interesting that the demons which were unclean, went into an unclean vessel. Golly, what are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that demons recognize unclean vessels. Thus, they look and they search for an habitation to reside in that's unclean. Golly, an individual that is clean, washed in the word, and he's daily transforming his mind through the washing and the renewing of the word, filled with the Holy Ghost. The devils come, they may come knocking, hello, they may come knocking at his door, but they can't get in the door. I'm talking about this temple, the temple, our bodies, not the temple that you live in, but this temple, the temple of the Holy Ghost, our bodies. They come knocking, but they can't come in because they won't dwell in an unclean vessel. But the Bible says they go through dry places seeking rest and can find none. And they go and find seven other spirits more wicked than themselves. And they will say, let us go and see if we can find a place that is unclean, that's dirty, that is not swept and put in order, and we will come in and make our habitation there. So watch this, don't miss it. The demons come out of this man and go into the swine, and they run violently down into the sea. Now, let's get into this. There's some characteristics that this man at the Gadarenes has that testify that he was not oppressed, but he was possessed of the devil. This is where you need to take notes. Okay? Number one, watch this. Number one, and you say, well, what's this got to do with the story? I want to go back to the story of the couple in Virginia that was in a new house, and this woman who was crazy and naked burst in and broke in her basement and threatened to kill them. Oh, I'm getting there. Just hold on for a second, because I'm going to tie the message into that, okay? Watch this. First of all, it says this man dwelt in the tombs. He dwelt around dead things. He made his habitation around unclean, dead, isolated, dark, come on, outside of civilization, outside of people. That's where he made his habitation. One of the things, listen, people that are possessed of the devil will begin to isolate themselves from society. They don't want to go in public. Rarely do you see them in public. And if they are, they're most likely, you're going to have to go to them. They're not going to come to you. Rarely. Some cases, like the one that we're talking about here in Virginia, that may have been the case. But we don't know the whole backdrop. There's got to be a reason that woman, I don't know the whole history of that home, that property. There could have been the shedding of innocent blood. I really wish I had time to preach this whole thing, because I could talk about how demonic spirits are attracted to the shedding of innocent blood, and how, and this is why you'll find out that most of these places are quote unquote haunted. There's a backdrop, or they have a history of murder there and bloodshed there and seances there and devil worshipers there and all these things because of rituals and sacrifices, because of shedding of innocent blood. But I don't have time to develop all that. But again, we don't know the whole backdrop on this, but I'm going to tell you, most cases of individuals that are demon possessed, they don't want to interact with people because the demons drive them to isolation. Because did you know that the devil wants to get you away from church? He wants to get you away from other believers. He wants to get you out of the word of God. He wants to get you out of society. He wants to get you out of any remote possibility of a location or environment that could set you free, that could get you help, that could get you deliverance. He wants to remove you from that atmosphere and isolate you, because eventually when he's done with you, he's going to kill you. So this man, whom the whole town knew, the Bible tells you that he was possessed of not one unclean spirit, but multiple unclean spirits. And again, his name, he called, this demon said, our name is Legion, for we are many. And did you know, according to Roman understanding, a legion could be up to 1,000. Because a legion of Roman soldiers was up to 1,000. So this man was possessed to, we know of, probably at least 1,000 demons. And you say, can 1,000 demons really possess one individual? Well, according to this word, yes. We are many. And it used the word legion. Again, back in that culture and that understanding, they understood a legion as a Roman legion of soldiers, again, identifying the number that we know of, a minimum of 1,000. So there was at least 1,000 demons. How can a man be possessed by 1,000 demons? Again, we don't know the whole story. We don't know the backdrop. Somehow this man opened himself up to 1,000 demons. Probably not all at once. Probably he probably picked up a few here, and then he picked up a few there, and he picked up a couple hundred here and there. And eventually, watch this, this man started out being oppressed of the devil, but then it moved into being possessed of the devil. Because it moved him to a place, watch this, it got to the point where he began to make his habitation around dead things, tombs. You know, there's nothing alive in a tomb, guys. It's all dead. Dead things, dead people, dead bodies in tombs. Nothing living but dead. But then it says, no one could bind him, not even with chains and fetters. And when they tried to bind this man and bring him into constraint, he would break the chains and fetters. Friends, physically, that is impossible for a man to break chains and fetters with his own strength. But friends, it's not when there's supernatural forces at hand that's operating through this man. And that's why no man could tame him or chain him, because he was demon possessed, and the demons working through him operated in supernatural force and broke the chains and fetters. Now, here's another thing. It says that night and day he was crying out. Now, this is the real sad part about this. The inner part of this man, the soul of this man, was crying out for deliverance. Even though the demons had possession of him, they controlled him, and they were like the steering wheel that was controlling this man and isolating him. Deep down on the inside of this man, he was crying out day and night to be set free and to be delivered. But the problem is, there was nobody in the region that had the authority in Jesus' name to set this man free from the legion of demons. And this is why he could only be set free when a man by the name of Jesus set foot in the Gadarenes. And your Bible says that when this demon possessed man saw him afar off, he ran to, notice he ran, the soul of this man ran to him for help, crying out for help, and fell down at his knees. And then that's when these demons recognized what was on the inside of Jesus and recognized that this was not just a man that got lost at sea and washed up on the shore of the Gadarenes looking for some food, looking for some water, and looking for shelter, but this Jesus of Nazareth had an assignment from his heavenly Father, and he was hearing the cries of this man all the way across from the other side of Galilee. And that's why he told the disciples, all right, boys, get in the boat, because we have an assignment to go to the other side. And they said, why are we going? Just don't worry about it. Get in the boat. And the devil tried to knock him off course. He tried to knock him off the assignment. That's why a tempest rose, a storm arose to try to knock them off course. Why? Because the devils were threatened by what was coming across the shore to get to the other side. Because the devil knew that if Jesus ever stepped foot on the shore of the Gadarenes, then it was over. This man was going to be set free, and they were about to lose a prized possession and be cast out of this vessel which they were using and be thrown into some pigs that would drown themselves into the sea. Hallelujah. Watch this. Woo! So the man was crying out day and night for deliverance on the inside. And the Bible says he was cutting himself. He was cutting himself. He was afflicting himself. He was causing self-harm to himself. Why was he doing this? Because the demonic power, the demonic spirits on the inside of him was doing this. Okay, now let's go back up here to the story. This is where y'all been wanting me. What's this got to do with the story? Let's evaluate some key elements of the testimony of this story and see if this woman was possessed. Okay, number one, according to the eyewitness testimony firsthand, the woman was naked. She had no clothes on. That's a key indication that the woman was possessed of the devil. She had no clothes on. Listen, some of you right now that's watching by YouTube, by Facebook, you're oppressed of the devil, but you're not possessed of the devil. Because number one, the devil, you think the devil's really going to let you watch this broadcast? Ain't going to happen. You ain't going to have a desire to watch this. You ain't going to desire to watch a message about the anointing that breaks yokes and about the word of God. Again, demon-possessed people don't want to hear the word by the spirits in them. But if you can get them in the atmosphere, come on, their soul will cry out on the inside of them wanting deliverance. Every now and then, there'll be that open opportunity that they can be set free. If they truly want to be set free, I'm telling you, friends, I believe with all my heart, God will give them an opportunity to be set free. So number one, this woman was naked. Number two, she violently attacked this family. Again, there was violence being exuberated here. Number three, she claimed to be the devil. Demonic spirits will give themselves away. They will say, we are, and they'll point to themselves to the third person. They'll identify themselves as a third person. She said, I am the devil. All right, and then we go on down here. And then she claimed to be Satan. I'm the devil. I'm Satan. All right. Then the husband says that the woman, he was firing 39 shots from a weapon. Listen, most people ain't going to stick around. If someone's firing a gun at me and I've had a bad day because the devil's been oppressing me with depression and aggravation, and I've had a bad day or a bad week at work, and my marriage is, something's going on with my marriage, and I've had a bad report from the doctor. If somebody starts firing a weapon at me, come on, I'm going to be running the other way. I'm not going to run to the bullets, okay? But he said that she did not flinch. Again, that indicates to me that the spirit or spirits on the inside of her was driving her to perform and to carry out this act of violence. And she was not swayed by these warning shots of this man who shot the gun. Then, again, here's another testimony. He said, quote, the woman had superhuman strength. He even went on to say that she had the strength of four men. Again, not normal, guys. This is another indicator of demonic possession. Okay? Both said that she was here to kill us. They said that we punched her and punched her as hard as we could, but she continued to laugh at us. He went on to say that her eyes were black. They were solid black, like solid black saucers. And they even said out of their testimony that she had to be, quote, possessed, and she continued to laugh. So again, by all the indicators, guys, of this story, when we line it up with scripture of the profile of the demoniac of the Gadarenes, it fits the criteria. Oh, and this is another sad part. According to their testimony, this woman stopped at one point and said, I need your help. Now, hold on here. How's an individual go from busting into your basement door, breaking down the door, violently attacking your family, threatening to kill them, to stopping and saying, and then crying out for help? Guys, this breaks my heart when I read this. This absolutely breaks my heart. And again, this is a picture of the Gadarenes, the man at the Gadarenes. He was violent. He was breaking chains. He was breaking fetters. No man could tame him. He ran off from civilization. He isolated himself. He ran into society. He was naked. He made his dwelling in the tombs, but yet he was cutting himself, but yet he was crying out day and night. He was crying out day and night. So this is a very sad situation. Now, let me get to the closing of this, what I want to talk about. When we go over here to Acts 19, here's the scary part. Somebody said, well, that man should have just rebuked those devils in Jesus' name. Well, listen. If this individual, if this man or this woman does not have a personal relationship with the Lord, they're not born again. If they're not born again, if they're not filled with the Spirit of God, and they know the authority that they have in Jesus' name, friends, even if they did yell out the name of Jesus, those demons don't have the authority to leave. Let me say that again. Even if they yelled out the name of Jesus, those devils still don't have the authority to leave. They don't have to leave. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, let me, Acts 19. Let's go to the book of Acts 19, verses 11 through 16. Listen to what it says. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. And then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. In other words, never said they had a relationship with the Lord, and I can prove this here, but they saw Paul and the apostles doing this. So they came upon themselves, they took it upon themselves to come upon some men who were demon possessed, and they said, hey, we're just going to do what Paul and Barnabas and all the other apostles are doing. And in the name of Jesus, we're going to cast out these devils out of them. Watch this. So here's what they did. So they came upon these demon-possessed men, and they said, quote, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, Jewish priest, a chief priest who did the same. Listen what it says in verse 15. So what was the results of this? And the evil spirit answered. So this spirit manifests itself when they were trying to cast it out in Jesus' name. The demonic spirit manifested and answered and said, listen to this, quote, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Golly, you didn't hear me. I said this spirit said, we know who Jesus is and we know who the apostle Paul is, but who are you? See, you can't just throw the name of Jesus around and think you're going to cast out some devils. Now, you may get away with this by a bunch of oppressed people and pray for them, and God can set them free and heal them, whatever, because He'll honor, come on, their faith. But if they're really demon-possessed and you try to cast out a devil in the name of Jesus with not having the authority through the name of Jesus, having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by your name being in Lamb's Book of Life and you being born again, friends, here's what happened. Watch this. This demon manifested. Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. So this demonic spirit came out of the man and it leaped upon these seven sons of Sceva, overpowered them, prevailed against them, and left these boys naked and wounded. Did you hear that? Left them naked and wounded. So for all the people that got on there on the on Facebook and Twitter and different social media outlets that were Christians and said, well, they should have used the name of Jesus. They should have rebuked this in Jesus' name. Again, if they don't have a relationship with Jesus, friends, it would have probably made it worse, because you would have agitated these demons and stirred up a hornet's nest, and these spirits probably would have done far more damage than what was done. Thank God that the woman was put down or out of commission. And I'm not going to detail how it was very graphic how the child did this with a wrench. It was just disgusting. It was, when I read this, it was just like very, very troubling. But again, now I want to read this. But here's the thing. Here's where I want to leave you with this. As believers, first of all, if you're born again, this is not everybody. If you're watching this by YouTube, by Facebook, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then this does not apply to you, what I'm about to tell you. But if you are born again, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, then according to Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. According to John 14, 12, he says, most assuredly I say to you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works shall you do, because I go into my Father. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, it says that Jesus gave his 12 disciples together. He called them together and gave them power, dunamis, authority, over all demonic spirits. That's unclean spirits. Come on, somebody. Let me talk about that. That's unclean spirits. That's evil spirits. That's spirits of infirmity. That's lying spirits. That's seducing spirits. That's spirits of fear. That's spirits of familiarity. I'm telling you, all. When it says all, it means all spirits. Every spirit of hell, every spirit that can be named, he says, I've given you authority over all the spirits. And then in Luke 10, 17, the disciples, come on, if you're a believer in Christ, you're a disciple. If you're a follower of Christ, you're a disciple. You're born again. You're walking according to his will. You're in his word. You're abiding in him. Come on, somebody. You're a disciple. You have authority in Jesus' name over the devils and demons of hell. Let me read this to you. In Luke 9, he gave them authority over the demons and over the devils. And in Luke 10, 17, watch this. The 70 that he appointed returns back to him and says, listen to this. They say, Lord, the devils or demons are subject unto us through your name. And listen what Jesus says to them. He says, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you. Somebody say, he gives unto me. He gives it unto me. The power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by no means shall hurt you. Come on, somebody say that with me. Say, he's given me power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me. But listen what he says in verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Did you see how the Lord joined together? He conjoined the fact that being born again with the authority to cast out devils in the same sentence. Again, let me say that again. Notice how he emphasized being born again in conjunction with the authority over demonic spirits, because the two work together. You cannot cast out spirits unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through the blood of Jesus, through repentance of your sins and forgiveness, through accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me read some more. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Did you hear that? All who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Well, I got news for you. If God was with Jesus that gave him the Holy Spirit and power to go about doing good and healing people that are oppressed of the devil, and this same Jesus said, the same works that I do, you're going to do, and greater works shall you do, and the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and quickens our mortal body. Friends, you have been anointed by our Heavenly Father. You've been anointed by Him. You've been empowered by Him, and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit of God to set the oppressed free. Listen, 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. In Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery to the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Come on, somebody. I come by to tell somebody today, listen, I know this is a little bit different, but I believe with all my heart, based on the information that we've been given about this woman in Virginia that broke into this home, I believe by the assessment, by the information that we've been given, that she was demon possessed. And we need to pray for her. You need to pray for her. I need to pray for her. Pray that she gets help, not from counseling, not from some kind of a group. She needs to get into the presence of a church or a believer that's filled with the Holy Ghost power of the Lord Jesus Christ that can break, come on, the chains and fetters of the satanic powers over her life and set her free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on. That's what I pray. Father, do it, Lord. Lord, I pray for this individual right now. Lord, it would be an injustice for me not to stop this broadcast right now and pray for this woman. Father, we lift her up before the throne room of God. Lord, we don't know her name is. We don't know her background. We don't know her circumstance. We don't know her story, and we're not going to judge her. But Lord, we pray for her by the mercies of Almighty God. We lift her up before the throne room of God, and I'm asking, Heavenly Father, that you would order her steps. God, put in her path, Lord, whether it be a church filled with the Holy Ghost and power to set her free, or put her in the path of an anointed, spirit-filled, Bible-believing, believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, who understands, recognizes, and operates through the authority that you've given him in Jesus' name, that knows how to set her free from these spirits that are possessing her. Lord, in Jesus' name, oh God. Lord, do it, Lord, and we'll give you the glory and the prayer. And we may never know on this side of heaven whether or not this prayer was answered. But Father, we're being obedient and we're praying for this individual. And right now, while the anointing is here, right now, while the word of God is going forth and not returning void, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice that, Lord, I believe is not possessed, but they're oppressed. Lord, there's women here, there's men here that are watching this, Lord, and they're dealing with oppression. The enemy is coming in and oppressing them in their health, oppressing them in their finances, oppressing them in their marriage, oppressing them in their children, oppressing them in their place of employment, oppressing them in their mind, oppressing them in their spirit, oppressing them in their soul, oppressing them in their physical body, oppressing them in every which way and every angle that can be possible. The enemy is trying to press them. He's trying to pull them down. He's trying to hold them down. He's trying to wrestle them and trying to put his hand on their throat and try to choke the life out of them. But Father, I thank you right now that help is on the way. I thank you that we will be strong in the power of your might and your spirit. We'll take up the whole armor of God, and we're going to put it on, and we're going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord our God. I take authority by the name of Jesus. I take authority over every oppressive spirit, spirits of fear, spirits of uncleanness, demonic spirits, spirits of infirmity, deaf and dumb spirits, spirits of seduction, seducing spirits. We take authority of all these spirits right now, and we command their power to be broken off of people right now, broken off of this man, broken off of this woman, broken off of that young man, broken off of that young woman in Jesus' name, broken off of that marriage, broken off of these finances in Jesus' name, broken off of that church, broken off of that health in Jesus' name. I declare what the devil has whispered to you in darkness, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob shall do the opposite. I declare that you shall not die, but you shall live and declare the works of the Lord our God. You're not going to go under, but you're going to go over. I declare that every chain, shackle, and fetter that's been assigned by the gates of hell, that's been assigned to put over your life, to keep you in oppression, to keep you down, I declare that it is, that the power of the devil is being broken off of people's lives. Lord, you told a centurion that he could speak the word only and it shall be done. So Father, we speak, you said your words are spirit and they are life. So I release the words of Almighty God. We release the words of God. I'm asking Father right now to do something that I cannot do. Lord, I can open my mouth and be a vessel and be an instrument and speak the word, but Father, you have to anoint that word. I'm asking right now that the anointing that breaks every yoke, breaks every chain, breaks every fetter, breaks every addiction, breaks every stronghold, I'm asking that anointing would begin to penetrate the airwaves, begin to penetrate that computer screen, penetrate that tablet, penetrate that cell phone, penetrate that desktop. It would go through YouTube, go through Facebook, it would go into that car, go into that office, go into that living room, go into that kitchen, go into that dining room. It would go and it penetrate the heart of that individual that's listening right now, either live or by the rebroadcast of this right now. I declare to you that you're being set free because the anointing breaks the yoke right now in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. It is done. It is finished right now in Jesus' name. Somebody's invited you to this broadcast. You're not a believer. You're an unbeliever. You're standing on the sidelines. You're skeptical. You come on here to listen to this because you thought it was a cool story. You thought it was something that you were interested in watching, but you were invited to this, tagged in this. You were given the URL of the link to watch this broadcast, but the Holy Spirit of God is tugging at your heart. He's invading your space, my friend. He's pulling you to repentance. You're beating, the heart beating out of your chest. You're sweaty palms, your pulse rate going up, something's messing with you on the inside, you feel weird, you don't understand what's going on right now. My friends, that is the Holy Spirit of a living God, and he's drawing you to repentance. He's drawing you into the kingdom of heaven, and what he's waiting for you to do right now is to humble yourself before him. Repent of your sins. Come on, repent of your sins. Ask him to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, to stop doing things on your own. Stop living for yourself. Stop living in a way in which does not glorify God, but surrender your heart and your life to Jesus, my friend. Because he wants to wash you, he wants to cleanse you, and he wants to fill you with his precious Holy Spirit. And somebody watching this today, your lives are going to be totally turned upside down. Somebody that's watching this today, there's darkness and there's oppression in your home. There's all kinds of weird and crazy stuff going on. There's dishes that are breaking. There's footsteps that you hear going through the night. Doors are slamming. You're seeing apparitions at night. You're seeing dark shadows. You're having dark nightmares. You're feeling things, physical things are happening, but things are beginning to turn around. Why? Because the oppression's breaking. The darkness is dissipating. Somebody's being set free in Jesus' name, and you're going to begin to see you and your whole household and this situation turn around by the Spirit and by the power of Almighty God. Things are going to begin to do a 180. Come on, they were going in one direction. Friends, the man at the Gadarenes, he was on his way to hell. He was bound. He was bound with chains and fetters. He was on his way to a devil's hell. But when Jesus showed up and he broke the chains, broke the fetters, and set the man free, your Bible says that the man was so moved by what happened that he desired to follow after Jesus. But Jesus said, no, I don't want you to follow after me. I want you to stay right where everybody knows who you are. You have influence. They know who you are. They know your backdrop. They know your story. They know how messed up you are. They know how dysfunctional you are. They know the mess that you've been in for all these years. Now you're in your right mind. You're in your right place. Come on, who am I talking to? It's time for you to rise up and be who God's called you to be. Now that the fetters are gone, the chains gone, the darkness is off, the dark clouds left, you begin, come on, to go to the very people that didn't want anything to do with you, that knew you, come on, as somebody messed up in the head, but now all of a sudden, come on, you've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You've got a testimony on the inside of you. And eventually, the whole region, the whole town, your family, your co-workers, your church, your friends, your neighbors are going to say, my God, I know who you used to be, but how in the world have you become who you are now? And you're going to begin to testify. It wasn't by a preacher by the name of Ricky Scapero. It wasn't because of end time headlines. It was because of Almighty Jesus Christ. It was the anointing. It was the Word of God. It was the Spirit of God. All you did was come into agreement with what was written, and God stamped it with His approval, with His anointing to break and set you free. Why? Because He's got a purpose for you, my friend. He's got a purpose for you. And it's not for you to be hidden away, cutting yourself, crying out in depression, away and isolated from somebody. But He's called you to be right in the midst of where He's called you to be light, to be salt. And you say, what am I going to preach? You're going to preach your testimony. You're going to preach, I used to be this, and I used to be that. Look what I used to be, but look who I am. Look who I've become. Come on, somebody. That, my friends, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't think He was going to get all that from a talking point about a Virginia break-in with some crazy naked woman, did you? But come on, I love when the Holy Ghost takes over. Come on, there's two people here today. It's not just me behind a microphone. The Holy Ghost is here with me, and He's here in the office. And I get out of the way and let Him come up to the mic and let Him preach, because I can preach the Word, but He can release the anointing and touch some folks. I can't go through the computer screen, but He can come right on into your living room and get up in your business and set you free in Jesus' name. Woo! Come on, somebody. I feel the Lord, and I just give Him the praise and glory. Lord Jesus, thank You for this word today. I really believe with all my heart some people got changed and transformed and set free today by the power of Almighty God in Jesus' name. So friends, before we sign out today, listen, I want you to contact me. If God did something for you today in this broadcast, or maybe a previous broadcast, or somewhere down the road, or whatever the case may be, or if you're blessed, if you're encouraged, and you would like to contact us, guys, you can email us at endtimeheadlines@yahoo.com. You can Facebook message us here on Facebook Live. You can YouTube message us, whatever the case may be. You can, if you're old school and you want to write a letter to us, or a greeting card, or whatever the case may be, our physical mailing address is End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. We want to give you an opportunity to contact us and let us know what the Lord has done. If you'd like to subscribe to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, easily do that there on Facebook Live by clicking the link that's provided there. There's a URL right under where it says support and follow. Just click on that link and it'll take you there. Excuse me. To do that, you're watching by YouTube, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You're going to see places to subscribe, to email subscriptions, push notifications. And if you've been blessed, informed and transformed by this ministry on a weekly basis, and the Lord has put it on your heart. Maybe it's a one-time gift. We don't pull people from the churches, but if this is your home church, we ask you to be obedient, partner with us, with your tithes, your offerings, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, you be obedient to that, and you be a blessing to our ministry as we continue. All of our messages are free, guys. YouTube, Facebook, they're all free. We don't charge subscription fees. We don't do CDs. We don't do DVDs. We don't do material. We don't do any of that. It's completely free. All we ask you to do is be obedient to the Holy Spirit. If He's touched you, blessed you, if our ministry is a continual blessing to you, we ask you to be obedient to what the Lord puts upon your heart, and you just act in obedience. And as you do that, the Lord will bless you and honor you for doing that in Jesus' name. So God bless you guys. We're going to sign out today. It is, what is today? Wednesday, July 10th. We will sign out. We'll be back on here on Friday with another word that we will pray over and release that word in Jesus' name. So God bless you guys. We'll see you then.